In today's episode, we're going to talk about old school parenting. We're going to look at some of the old school approaches that are kind of awesome and want to keep doing them. So I hope you learn a lot and maybe resonate with some of these old school approaches.
Welcome to the Art of Raising Humans.
Hello and welcome to episode 79 of the Art of Raising Humans. I'm Kyle.
And I'm Sarah.
And today we're going to look at some old school parenting techniques.
Woohoo.
Yes. You know, so I thought, Sarah, it is the middle summer. It's hot.
Yep.
Thought we'd have a little fun on this one, you know?
Okay.
So what I mean by fun is typically, listeners, I write up a lot of the content and then Sarah gets to look at it before we do it. But this time I'm not going to let her look at it. I'm just going to go through this article I saw. It was in Country Living magazine. You ever read that magazine?
Yeah. Not physically, but I've seen articles.
You have,
I've heard of it. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't think I ever really look at that. But yeah, Country Living magazine in 2018. So it's not too old. Yeah. About 5 years old. But there was an article on 30 old school parenting techniques that they think we still need for today.
Do we agree with them?
Yeah. So I thought it'd be interesting for the listeners to hear these 30. I would love to get your feedback, listeners, on any of these that you say, yes, that's really good, because I found a lot of these were actually pretty helpful.
Okay.
You know? So I know we spend a lot of time. It seems like when you have a new approach, it looks like we're just ripping down the old, you know?
Yeah.
And that isn't what we're doing, right? I mean, we do feel like there's a lot of good that came from.
You keep some and you get rid of some. You don't want to throw the baby out with the bathwater.
I think almost anything you change, it's a mistake throwing it all out, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
You really want to take what was good and healthy and you just want to grow more of that, right?
Right.
Instead of just saying, oh, it was all bad. I think anytime someone's saying it's all bad, your perspective's a little skewed, you know?
Right.
And so you really want to be able to take a moment, think about the good that came from some of those upbringing, you know, techniques, and then build upon those. Because many of them, even if the technique was good, maybe the intent was a little misinformed and you just kind of tweaked
that. Or the intent was really good.
Yeah.
But they just didn't know a different technique to use. They used the one that was, thought of at the time.
Yeah. So we really love your feedback. I do want to say before we jump into that I got to do a speaking thing this past month, you know, where I got to go speak at a corporation and talk to some managers and executives about how to build kind of a healthier, kind of a culture within their community, within the business, using the skill of encouragement instead of praise. And so it's a really cool opportunity. And that kind of wrapped up all the speaking we've done since January, you know, and in that time, Sarah, you and I together, I don't know, man, like we did 15, 17, something like that, different speaking opportunities. And so I'm just pointing that out because we got the fall coming up. And as people are listening to this in July, if you have some place you want Sarah and I to come speak, it could be a business, could be a school, could be a church, a small group of parents, you know, feel free to reach out to us because we are very open to wanting to help more and more parents throughout the world, not just in Tulsa, Oklahoma, but throughout the world. Be able to approach their little human beings in a healthier way.
Yeah, definitely.
So feel free to reach out to us. You can go to parentinglegacy.com and you can reach out to us through there. But you can also leave comments when you see, you know, stuff on Facebook and Instagram and reach out to us that way. You can message us that way. And we'd love to get back with you and chat with you about that. So what we're going to do, Sarah, is I'm going to read these out one by one. And the listeners are going to hear them for the first time, and so are you. So I thought we'd just have a little conversation to see how many of these 30 we are still going, it's a great idea, right?
Okay.
And so it may surprise you about, you know, and I kind of even kind of how when I say it to you, also kind of what your concept of this idea is. Okay. Got it?
All right.
So number one, the number one old school idea, at least according to Country Living Magazine, is be consistent.
Okay.
What do you think about that?
That's a winner. Yes.
And
be consistent.
Yeah. What does it mean to you?
To me, that means in my, how I'm interacting with my child or what I'm wanting and asking, I don't change that every day or frequently. I consistently show up a certain way.
Yeah.
You know, my goal, not that I always hit this, my goal is to show up and be loving, to be caring, to be have boundaries, you know, and supportive and, you know, calm, all those kinds of things. But then also I'm consistent in what I ask from them, you know, even little things like bedtimes and meal times. And, you know, not that sometimes something will happen, but in general, I want things consistent and kind of predictable for
them. No, I love
that. Create that security.
Well, when I saw this, I thought, do they think a new school approach is being inconsistent? that seems to be not good for kids. So no, I'm with you. I think being consistent, we're huge on. That's really big. I think I want my kids to know what they can expect every time. You know, I think a lot of problems in what I'm helping kids is they find their parents can be unpredictable, you know, and that causes anxiety. So therefore they think, do I tell them the truth this time? Because last time they seemed
they seem to
be pretty mad. So I don't know if telling the truth. So it seems like there's things that parents will say. I hear a lot. Parents will say, just tell us. We want you to be open and honest with us. And then they go, I tried that last week and it blew up in my face. Yeah. I'm not. Yeah. So they'll even say like, they don't really seem to be consistent on that. Uh-huh. Okay. So number one, we're in agreement with be consistent. Number two, eat together.
Yeah. Yeah. They've really done studies on this and there's great outcomes. I won't go into all of that, but there's great outcomes for what happens with relationships and children even going outside of the home, their grades, their all that kind of stuff. Having a meal together, certain things will disrupt that practice and stuff like that. But as much as you can, you'd like a meal every day together. Where you're and phones down, talking, interacting, eating together, mealtime.
So rare these days, right? But so important, you know?
Taking us away from it.
It is. It's a lot of distractions. But I know we did it as kids. Did you guys do it?
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
we ate together. Yeah. I definitely loved breakfast together. Breakfast was my favorite. It's probably why even today I love breakfast together. So eating together, we agree with. That's important, right? Number three, let kids fail.
Yeah. Yeah, actually, I was just working on something with that. Kids need to fail because... there's this little helicopter parenting that everyone's probably heard about. You want to save your kid from failure, but actually failure, I want to say failure / mistakes are invaluable because now the stakes are low, you know? Yeah. Even if it's your two-year-old trying to put a puzzle together and they're struggling, I can't find where the pieces go, you know, and you can come along and support, but you want to let your kid fail. In their grades or something, if you didn't turn in your assignments, you get a bad grade. Yeah. Yeah. But that's better.
Yes.
You want them to learn that now because later the stakes are much higher.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. You want them not to fear failing.
Yeah.
Because failing is not fatal.
Oh,
right?
Yeah. I should have turned in that assignment. And if they just see you as partnering with them, you're not coming like, I told you, I should have turned in that assignment. But, you know, you're coming with them where they can say, I messed that up. Mm-hmm. That's awesome. Yeah. Then later when they're in relationships or working or they still come to you and go, I messed this up.
Yeah. There's even one thing I encourage parents to do is at the dinner table when they are eating together, like number two, is actually talk about how they failed that day, you know, what mistakes they made, where making mistakes and failing at things isn't the end of the world. It's ways in which we learn and grow. Now, I would add in this magazine, the picture here was a kid in a dunce cap sitting in the corner of a classroom. So I don't know if we agree with that failure, but letting kids fail is important.
That's actually not failure to me. That's a punishment. I know. That's a whole different topic.
I thought it was a weird picture. Okay. Number four, send them outside to play.
I cannot tell you the number of hours I spent outside as a child. My grandma, my mom, were like, get outside. And we spent lots of time outside.
You did grow up in Michigan, so the weather was better. in Oklahoma, we did go outside to play, but it was super hot.
I was outside in the heat sometimes in Oklahoma. Okay, there was a little window there. And it was 1,000 degrees outside. I actually remember mom saying, you guys need to come in. It's too hot. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But no, I mean, the outdoors, again, you look up studies, people, there's so much about the benefits to our brain, our grounding, our sense of feeling safe and calm. There's all kinds of great things that happen, creativity, that nature we're just made for, you know, we're just made to be in it. And I would say our kids aren't outside as you know, enough.
Not near as much
but
as
it's
we
so were. I feel like it's hard. Yeah. It's really
it was also different, Sarah.
It is.
My parents would send me outside to play and we would go in the storm drains and we would be in the storm drains for probably like 2 hours popping up out of manholes in people's backyard. So there was a little different back then, but I still think there could be a healthy balance.
There can. You can go on hikes, you can go to the park, you can, you know, maybe you have a big backyard and some land. We don't, you know, not everyone does. Some people are in apartments, you know, and definitely don't have that. But there are ways to get outside more.
I think in the old school way, though, sometimes sending you out to play was like, get out of my hair. I'm so sick of you being in
all
the house.
Noise.
Get out of here. I got other things
to
do.
I'm just going to cross my fingers. Everything goes well.
Exactly. Okay, number five, they worded it this way, but I want to hear establish house rules.
Okay, yeah, so I would reword that. Mm-hmm. Yeah, mm-hmm. But I would definitely have some sort of a, this is how we live.
Yeah.
You know, maybe we...
Some expectations.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. How we talk to each other, how we care for our, our home.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when we do the dishes, we don't let you know, rats and roaches, you know. So I would have some things like that, though, that would be
almost like, what am I thinking of? It's like a business, not a motto, but not a vision.
I know, but you have that word.
What's the stinking word? Like, you would come up with that, and there's some really, so what you're saying is you would reword it, because establishing house rules, you can get the intent behind this, but it does kind of talk about this. Well, if you break the rules, then somehow
It's just their rules is used in the world or out there lots of ways.
Mission statement. It's almost like you're creating a mission statement for your family. This is who we are as a family, you know?
Right.
And so you're kind of given a picture of these house, you know, boundaries or expectations. These are the human beings we want to be in this home. Yeah. Right, we treat each
rules
other this
is
way.
Just it's too weighty. There's too much to it, so I just wouldn't use it because of that.
There's too much baggage
even
there.
Even if that's not how I plan.
Because it's almost like if you don't do those rules, then you're in trouble now. So okay, number six, saying because I'm the parent is okay sometimes. Saying because I'm the parent is okay sometimes.
I wouldn't say that. I'm not saying it could never be okay, because I just don't think it's black and white like
there's
that.
There's times we want to say it. We're like, just do it, because I'm the parent. I'm tired of explaining why to do it. Just do it, right?
Yeah, you definitely feel it. Yeah. Where this is important. Yeah. I just need you to do it.
Yeah.
But I would kind of feel like if it comes to that point, I need to go back to relationship with my child. Mm-hmm. You know, I should be able to say, get out of the road, and then they do it because of our relationship. Like, oh, I trust this lady. She told me to get out of the road. It must be important. Yeah. Versus,
so what you're saying, because you value what I say.
Yeah, because like we have a good relationship. Right?
And I think that's probably what they're saying, maybe. But like in the old school way, it's more of this, I'm the parent, so therefore no matter, in this moment, I just
because
want you
to because of the authority,
do, yes,
and I
do.
Just, I really hesitate saying there should ever be this just once in a while, the authority just tells you to do it and you've got to do it.
Without thinking, be mindless, don't think at all.
You just have to do it. And I'd say, oh no, I really don't want my kids to ever feel like they just have to.
Yeah.
I actually want them to think.
Yeah, I want them to stop and think, because you don't want them to be impulsive kids who are just doing whatever they're told constantly. Yeah. You want them to stop and think about it.
And I would assume that won't be an issue, because if I have a relationship with them, I wouldn't.
There'll be trust there. Okay. Yeah. Number seven, take away privileges. How do you feel about that one?
I was that old school. I feel like that's everyone's know, doing that nowadays.
I know, but I think they're doing that because it was old school. It was. You're getting grounded. Okay. We're taking away
and the
stuff.
Things we still should.
Exactly.
Man, again, I can't say there would never be an occasion. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I mean, a safety issue, something like that. If I had a kid who was just walking into the pool, I would take away the privilege to be in the backyard.
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
You know? Something like, I mean, that's a silly
I would say
example,
once again, though,
but
it's an intent. Like right there, you just said there, it's an intent to help, right?
Yes.
It's an intent to keep you safe. Yeah. It's not an intent to control. It's not an intent to like, you know, dominate and kind of force my will on you.
It would just be, you're not quite ready for this. So let's just back it up a bit. Yeah. If they were doing dangerous things on their phone, talking to people, connecting in ways that I thought were harmful to my child, then the privilege of your phone would be have to scale that back a bit because it's my job to keep you safe.
But once again, we want to frame it in regards to boundaries. Yeah. I'm trying to set some healthy boundaries for you to make sure you're safe and that you're put in the best position to be successful, right? And if we're giving you this privilege and it's being used in a way that's hurting you, right?
Yeah.
It's no different than if they were cutting themselves or something like that, doing something harmful. You wouldn't want anything sharp in that room to be available to them, right? So in the same way, if they're using the phone or any device and it's hurting them, then you'd want to remove that. But it is taking away privileges. But you know, in this old school way, it's like you've been bad, so you lose that privilege.
Yeah, even a little kid who's, let's say they're throwing a wooden block at their sibling.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I would do a lot of things before, but ultimately, if I needed to remove the wooden block because it's a danger and apparently, you know, then I would. But there'd be a lot of things I would do before I got to that.
Okay, so number eight is let kids be bored.
Yes.
Yep.
Yep.
You like that idea? That's a good one, right?
Yeah.
A lot of studies show being bored leads to creativity.
Yep, they access parts of their brain.
And I'd say that's something we've really missed as parents. I think don't let their kids be bored.
Yeah.
You see kids a lot of times just even in grocery stores having to have devices constantly. And so I really think that is a problem. So I almost want to highlight that one. So that's a great idea. You know, that goes back to telling your kids to go outside and play.
It's swinging back around. I feel like I see more and more stuff saying, let your kids be bored, you know, turn off devices. Even all the toys that we get, you know, we kind of overbuy toys, at least here. I don't know how it is in other countries, but there's a lot of kids with a lot of toys.
And
I even feel like sometimes I think, why do my kids have these toys? I had like a tenth of what they and they really don't, because it really, it's, they've seen that it's too much for the child's brain. And it entertains too much of their brain, and they lose this access to creativity and all that stuff that happens when you're bored.
Well, also kids just are afraid to be bored. It scares them. It's one of the most scary feelings. Kids,
we used
it's
to have
so
to,
uncomfortable.
I mean, we're old enough where if we sat in a waiting room, you literally just sat there.
Exactly.
Or we would be left in the car.
My
mom would go and grocery shopping back then. This is a long time ago, people. Nowadays you cannot do this. You know, we were older also, but still, you know, you'd have to just sit somewhere while your parent ran in to talk to someone or, you know, took care of business and you'd just be sitting there.
Well, that's funny you say that, because number 10 is carve out grown-up time. So what do you think when they say that, carve out grown-up time?
I would say that's time to be a grown-up and be with other grown-ups.
And so like it's specialized
time. You always
have
your children around.
And so when I saw that at first, the picture is, I think, of a couple sitting at a couch, right? So I think that's healthy, right? To have time where because you and I talk a lot about, I talk a lot about us connecting and talking about the day. And like, that really is what keeps a marriage strong. Now, it doesn't have to be this all the time. At times it can be kind of a rigid thing like, this is our time, but you don't want it to be a power struggle where like, get away, go away, this is, we gotta have grown-up time. And I think in the inference here is it kind of was that, leave us alone, this is grown-up time, don't ever come in our bedroom and bother us, this is grown-up time. And so instead of having more flexibility with that, but also being intentional about it, that you and I know we need time to talk together separate, because there are times when we get frustrated when the kids keep jumping in and we're trying to talk to each other.
Right. Where we do say, hey, guys.
Yeah.
Give us some time. But they also know if there's an emergency, something really big come up, definitely come to us. Just don't come to us with, can I have goldfish? You know, that can wait a few minutes.
Let's do this. We're up to number 10. We got 30.
Oh, man. So, okay. Faster.
It's okay. So I want to hit these. The ones you really want to highlight, okay? Establish a regular bedtime.
Definitely. It's for their health. It's for that connection time, all of that.
100%.
It's really great.
Refuse to be a short order cook.
Oh, yeah. I've fallen into that. Sorry to say.
I thought you'd like that one.
In my attempt to be flexible, my children give them choices. There have been times where I'm like, okay, you want your eggs this way and your eggs this way. Yeah.
That's a whole podcast.
It is. I can't go there. There's a little pain in there.
I know. I can tell it's triggering you. Okay. Number 12, don't let kids speak disrespectfully to you or anyone else.
Okay. Don't let.
I know. You can hear the control in it, right?
Yeah.
You hear like, instead of what you and I would say is teach kids to respect themselves.
Yeah.
And then in that respect, they will be respectful to
and
you.
And I had better always be talking respectfully to them.
I need a model self. I need a model.
I don't want them to yell
at
me. Yep. Don't yell at them. If I want them to speak kindly to me, speak kindly to them.
Well, so I like that. Don't let ourselves speak disrespectfully to them or anyone else.
Yeah.
If we don't, then I don't think they will.
Right.
You know, if we're always inviting them into respectful dialogue, I think that's just how we're going to talk.
Yeah.
Right. Okay. So number 13, insist on good manners.
I don't know about insist, but let's model manners and
teach them.
Practice manners.
I think they're important. I think they're important.
Yeah. Do I want them just, you know, chewing with their mouth open, feet on the table, you know, sloppy? No.
But I remember some people being super picky about no elbows on the table. And as a kid, I was like, oh my gosh, like this is, like, I think it's, we're not burping at the table. We're not doing
but
these
things. Yeah, I would say within context. So you could have a night where, okay, we're going to act like we're at a fancy restaurant.
Exactly. That's good.
You know, and just teach them so they can go into spaces and know how to act in that space.
Or 14, assign every family member chores.
I think it's great to have everyone contribute. There's mm-hmm. lots of evidence, again, mm-hmm. about how it raises self-confidence and your self-esteem, yeah. and you're contributing. Make it age appropriate.
Yeah, okay. I agree. And we just switched that term from chores to like responsibilities.
Yeah.
And stuff.
Yeah.
Number 15, set a good example.
Okay. 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 I didn't know that was
Are
old
you
school.
For that one? Or get,
I'm for that one. Yes. You so don't ask them to do anything you're not modeling.
Easy. Yes. Number 16, don't let them interrupt when adults are talking.
What if it's important?
I know.
Okay. So what I would say emergency? Don't interrupt anyone.
Yes.
But if it's important, yeah. interrupt.
Well, I think the same
Come
way you,
to me.
The same way you and I wouldn't interrupt somebody when they're talking.
Right.
You know, unless it was important. Yeah. You know?
Hey, the kitchen's on fire.
I know. Don't want to interrupt. I was told not to. Yeah. So we just teach the kid how to interrupt.
Yes.
Teach the kid when's the time and how to do it.
Right.
Right. And then they know. Number 17, be a parent, not a friend.
Okay. Again, to me, there's a whole lot of background to that, which we can't get into.
Yes, yeah.
But I would say in general, the idea is remember you are the parent, mm-hmm. so act like mm-hmm. it. Don't slide into being a friend.
Yeah.
But as your kids get older, you're switching.
Yeah.
Well, you know, you're coming alongside them, and it's going to look very different. So I feel like that's a whole bigger conversation.
I do, but I also think you can be both. You can be a friendly parent.
Yeah.
So just be a friendly parent.
Yeah, you and can have fun and play with your child
exactly.
and still keep them safe and teach them skills and
Yeah,
do
because
all the
I think you're
stuff.
Teaching them how to be a friend by being one to them, too. Mm-hmm. But you're also the parent, okay?
Yeah.
Number
it's
18.
It's not an either or.
It's not.
That's
18's cook and bake together.
Yeah, it's awesome. Teaching them skills, relationship building. Perfect.
I like number 19. Tell your family story.
Yeah.
Tell your family story. Yeah. I think that's a cool one.
Yeah, there's something that even in our DNA, there's these roots and they're learning more about that with epigenetics and mm-hmm. stuff like that. It's really cool. And so, yeah, knowing your family story and also just integrating that helps them understand how we are.
I agree. I think it's really cool. I've heard a lot of people lately telling their story about and how much it's moved the kids because the kids didn't know the story of what they grew up like and how. And so I think it's cool to invite kids into that. Number 20, create traditions.
Yes.
Easy, right? Oh. That's important.
Oh,
yeah. Create traditions.
So great.
It keeps families together when you have those traditions.
It does.
Number 21, let them spend time with their grandparents. I don't know why that's there.
That's old school?
I guess.
I mean, nobody does that now.
Let them
nobody
spend time.
Does
Everyone's like,
nowadays.
Do
That's
not spend time with your
grandparents. That's such an old school thing to do.
It's like, maybe a grandparent wrote this.
Maybe.
But of course,
I never see my grandchildren.
Yes, if the grandparents are safe and loving people, let your kids spend time with
and
them, of course.
You know what? If you don't like some of their techniques,
yes.
not that they're dangerous. Danger,
yes.
no, you don't need to
of
see
course,
them.
Of course.
But assuming they're safe people and they just have some techniques you don't really like, then just be there too.
Yeah. Good. Number 22, stand by this quote. You don't get everything you want. Stand by that.
Stand by it.
Stand by. You don't get everything you want. And he says, you don't get everything you want rule. So, I mean, I would say when I saw that, I agree with that. You don't get everything you want.
You don't, but I don't think you, I mean, that just happened.
Yeah, but I think it goes back to teaching your kids the world doesn't revolve around them. I think those are important, healthy things. And actually, it's good when a kid thinks they can get everything they want, mm-hmm. then what they want controls them, you know?
Yes.
And they don't ever learn how to
you
have self-control.
You are free from your
yes.
wants
yes.
and your desires.
Yeah.
So you actually can
So not getting
decisions.
Everything you want is good. It's helpful to you, right?
Yeah.
But it's not like you don't give it, and it's not me against you.
Yeah.
It's me helping you.
It's actually
you know?
Coming along, oh yeah, I can't have that today. That's sad. It's hard to really want something and not get
yep.
it.
Number 23.
And they learn it.
Number 23, get everyone dressed up for special occasions.
Okay.
What do you like? I mean, I like it's fun to get dressed up for family pictures.
I'm surprised that made the, was
I,
that I, old school?
I don't know.
We're just all sloppy.
Maybe they just wanted to get 30.
We don't see our grandparents.
I think because they think when people go to church now, they're not dressed up at all.
For special, I mean, I don't know. I still go to weddings and
yes,
people are dressed up.
I get it. Yeah.
I go
We're
to,
all too casual now.
Yeah.
Okay. Number 24, never forget you are in charge.
Ooh.
I know you can tell there's a real authoritarian
kind
of time.
Yeah.
I mean, I think what they're trying, what could be taken from that is it is important for parents to know
you're the parent.
You are the parent. And
you're
the kid actually needs you to be that.
But I wouldn't say you're in charge.
Yes.
I'd say you're responsible.
Because the kid is actually in charge of themselves. You are there to help them be in charge of themselves, right?
You have a huge, you know, you have a lot you need to show up and do.
But there's a lot of times when I looked, when other people thought they were in charge of me and it was good to look to my parents were like, no. I'm in charge of him, not you, mm-hmm. you know? So the parents were able to help with that. And I always felt comfort that I knew they were in charge and they would then help
with
me.
With school teachers or other.
Yeah, they would come alongside and help me when people were trying to be in charge of me, right?
Okay.
Number 25, trust your instincts.
I'd say we do too much of looking to other authorities and saying, well, I mean, I feel like I really should go to my child right now or something, but they said don't, so I won't, you know? So I think we do have this gut instinct and we need to listen to that. We also need to be aware though, where if we have trauma, if we have, you know, tough relationships in our history, we all have stuff. So I'd say yes, and you need to be aware of your stuff. And go to a counselor, talk to people, make sure your stuff isn't clouding it, but I would say you definitely should listen to that voice inside. And if anything, go tell someone, you know, I'm hearing this, but I'm torn on it because I also feel this. Go talk to someone about it.
I also thought of all the parents I see who for a long time wanted to stop spanking or wanted something, something in them said, I just didn't feel right. I didn't like doing it. And like, and they just didn't trust it because they thought they were going to be judged or told it was bad.
I'm supposed to do this. I've got to.
So number 26, remind your kids not to spread germs.
Okay.
That's a great idea.
Yeah, I didn't know we were not doing that anymore. But yeah, you know, cough into your elbow.
Yes, do that. It's important.
Wash your hands. Yes. Don't spit.
Exactly. Number 27, instill a respect for elders and everyone else. That seems to, it seems like there's two talking about like respect. It's like, don't be disrespectful and respect them. So yes, we agree being respectful is important, but it always starts with you modeling respect towards them first and then inviting them into being respectful.
It's almost like, what do you mean by respect? Because I'm not sure we, but definitely I'm going to respect the children. Yep. I want children to respect me, but in general, I want all humans to respect other humans.
I know. You
treat them with kindness. Yes.
You know, inferred in here is never talk back to them. Never think for yourself.
Yeah, that's what I'm like, I'm not sure we have the same definition.
Number 28, show kids how to help people. Love it. It's great. Yeah. Show kids how to help people.
Again, model it. You know, go help people and then invite your kids to join you in helping other people. That's great. We need more helpful people.
I think you like 29, schedule downtime.
That's
good, right? I mean, that goes back to playing outside. That goes back to being bored. Yeah, I think
we're a busy world.
Yeah, especially this summer, parents are listening to schedule some downtime, right?
You always think, oh, we need to plan this activity and that activity and that activity and sit home. It's amazing to see what kids will come up with, you know, before they invite you into their games and they invite you into stuff. And you don't always have to plan to go fill your calendar up.
And number 30, I may not like how it's worded, but I think you'll agree with it. Make sure kids clean up after themselves.
Okay.
I like that. Yeah.
It's really a skill, right? You make a mess. I know. You clean it up.
It surprises me, Sarah, how many times
I actually kids will feel make like a mess. Maybe that is old school. I remember kids will play in our backyard and then I go out there and I'm like, and it's not even there's a bunch of wrappers and things. Not even snacks I gave them. Yeah. They came with snacks. They left their trash.
You know, you weren't in scouts, but I was in scouts. It was always we were taught, it was drilled into our brain. Leave the place better than you found it.
Yeah.
So I want our kids to do the same thing. If you've been there, not only clean up your stuff, but if there's other stuff that needs to be cleaned up, grab that too. You know, let's pick up the trash outside. Let's get the litter out of the, you know.
Take care of your space.
Yeah. And so I just, the only wording I don't like is make sure. It's just, I would just say, teach the kids how to clean up after themselves. Right.
Yeah.
And I think kids will, I almost can't help it. I can't go into a room that I've messed up and just walk away and
when
leave
you're
a mess.
Done eating, take your dishes to the sink, rinse them off, you know, whatever they're age appropriate, whatever they're able to do. I can do it. But it feels good.
Yeah, but you see how this 30, I think we liked about 22 of them.
We liked
23,
a lot.
Right?
A little tweaks.
Yeah, a little tweaking, yes.
There,
So I wanted to point this out because we're not here saying old school stuff's all bad, right? Uh-huh. There's a lot of really great things we were given, a lot of great values in this these kind of things, a lot of great
and
things.
And I'm really grateful. Those things helped me a lot in life, and I credit my parents, my grandparents, giving me those skills.
So I hope the listeners really enjoyed those 30, and I would love to hear if you've got feedback on the ones you enjoy the most or ones you like, yes, I really resonate, or we need more of that in our society. I hope this was just kind of more of a lighthearted summer one where you could just listen to it and kind of have your reactions to it. Or maybe you'd add a few other ones that you think are good too, that these 30 are missing, you know? So we'd love to get your feedback on that and just appreciate you listening. And we really hope you're not dying of heat for the summer and that you're having a lot of great times, making a lot of great memories with your kids. And so we appreciate you listening. Please share this with your friends. And so you guys can have a great conversation about this as well.
The Art of Raising Humans podcast should not be considered or used as counseling, but for educational purposes only.